This is Gulf Coast Live from WGCU. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Later this hour, we're going to hear a bit of the latest episode of Three Song Stories, the new WGCU podcast that generates biography by forcing guests to pick three songs that have touched their lives. We'll hear from Karen Feldman, who spent nearly three decades at the News Press and who is now at Florida Gulf Coast University creating the university's magazine. But first, the rate of uninsured children in Florida and across the nation is on the rise. A new report from the Georgetown University Health Policy Institute Center for Children and Families finds that in 2017, the number of uninsured kids nationwide stood at an estimated 3.9 million children. That's an increase of about 267,000 kids, including 37,000 more uninsured children compared to 2016, just in Florida alone. Researchers with Georgetown Center for Children and Families have been putting out this report since 2008, and last year was the first time the annual study showed an increase in the number of uninsured children in all 50 states. Three-quarters of all children in the U.S. who lost coverage between 2016 and 2017 were in states like Florida that have not expanded Medicaid. And children in the under 6 years old demographic saw the biggest increase. In a ranking by raw numbers, Florida comes in 49th among the 50 states in the U.S. and the District of Columbia when it comes to the number of uninsured children last year. Only Texas had more uninsured kids, and only D.C. experienced a decline in the rate of uninsured kids. Child health advocates call the report a wake-up call for state and federal lawmakers, and the study's authors say they expect the current trend to continue into 2018. Joining me now for a closer look at the report's findings is Georgetown University Center for Children and Families co-founder and executive director Joan Alker. She's also a research professor at the Georgetown University McCourt School of Public Policy. Her work tends to primarily focus on access to health care for low-income children and families, with an emphasis on Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program, or CHIP, and the Affordable Care Act. Joan Alker, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
And as always, I invite listeners to join the conversation. The number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. First of all, Joan, let's step back and take a broader view. As I understand it, the trend nationally when it comes to the rate of uninsured kids over the past few decades is that we've been experiencing a sharp decline, perhaps due in part to the creation of the Children's Health Insurance Program in 1997, and then an even sharper decline in the rate of uninsured kids just in the last 8 years. Would that be an accurate characterization? And if so, does that underscore how alarmed we ought to be about what this latest report indicates regarding what occurred in 2017?
Yeah, that's right. This has been a really positive trend that, you know, a lot of folks weren't aware of, that our country has made so much progress in reducing the number of uninsured kids. Even starting before the passage of CHIP with the extension of Medicaid coverage, but especially since 1997 when CHIP was established. So working together, Medicaid and CHIP have really worked to reduce the number of uninsured kids. And, you know, in Florida, I mean, all states really were making progress, and Florida saw a very substantial decline from 17% in 2008 down to last, in our last report, 2016, the best rate ever, which was 6.6% of kids in Florida uninsured.
So historically, Florida has ranked at or near the bottom, but we were improving vastly. How does Florida fare in this current report? Because I'm looking at one graphic noting that uninsured kids in Florida account for 8% of the total number of uninsured kids across the nation. And just to put that in perspective, the combined number of uninsured kids in 46 other states in total makes up 58%. So Florida holding nearly a fifth of all uninsured kids in the country, that's fairly significant.
Yeah, so Florida, you know, had a lot of room for improvement, and fortunately, the state, really like all others, were making improvements. Although, you know, Florida had a long way to go, along with Texas, who tend to bring up the rear, unfortunately, on these numbers. And you know, I think what's interesting though about our report is that, you know, I've written this report 8 times now, and we've never seen this kind of uniformity across states that we saw in writing this report, looking at what happened in 2017. And what I mean by that is that we didn't have any state that had measurable progress on reducing the number of uninsured kids. That's why, we think the national currents that were at work in 2017 are really what's responsible here.
Gotcha. Yeah, you note only the District of Columbia saw a statistically significant decrease in the number of uninsured kids. And again, only Texas seemed to be worse off than Florida. So I got to ask, what's going on in Texas? And conversely, what's going on in D.C.?
Well, so let's just take a step back and think about this a little bit more. What
Sure.
was going on in 2017 in general? The economy is good right now, so unemployment rate is really low. So we would have, barring other things happening, we would have expected that to bring the uninsured rate down for kids across the country. That's, I think, while it was a small increase nationally of 276,000 children, it was significant. And given that it's a good economy, that's very troubling. What's happening, generally speaking, is that more kids are getting covered through their parents, through employer-sponsored insurance, which, of course, is the primary source of coverage for most people. And in a good economy, you would expect that. But what we're seeing is children losing public coverage, both in the Medicaid program, which is the primary source of coverage, and in the marketplace, the Affordable Care Act marketplaces. And that loss of public coverage is what's combining to essentially override the good economy and lead to the increase in uninsured kids. And I'm going to just talk for a minute about what was happening in 2017 in particular.
Okay.
So it's a little bit confusing, but most uninsured children are actually eligible for public coverage, either Medicaid, CHIP, or the ACA marketplace, but they're just not currently enrolled. There are some kids who don't have a path to coverage, for example, undocumented kids in many states don't have a path to coverage, but there's really not very many of them. So what was going on in 2017 is, you'll remember back, Congress spent a lot of the year talking about repealing the Affordable Care Act, cutting Medicaid, and that debate kind of wound up in September. And then come September 30th, funding for the Children's Health Insurance Program expired. And there was still some leftover funding hanging around, but it took months for Congress to get its act together. And Florida was actually one of the states that was at risk of running out of their CHIP dollars at that time. So families were hearing a steady stream of coverage about how, of news coverage about how health coverage was going away.
Right.
So it was a very confusing situation. At the same time, we were seeing cuts from the Trump administration in marketing and advertising for the Affordable Care Act marketplace. We were seeing cuts, and this happened quite a bit in Florida, in community navigators that help families make sense of their options, that can help them figure out how to get their kids enrolled. So we think that those combination of factors, particularly in states that were not really embracing the ACA, trying to override this national current, like Florida and Texas, saw larger declines.
And states like Florida and Texas and the others that seem to have the sharpest increase in the rates of uninsured kids all have something else in common, and that pertains to, you know, action, or more appropriately, inaction on Medicaid.
That's exactly right. So we now have just 14 states nationwide that have not accepted the ACA Medicaid expansion after this election, because we had three more states, Idaho, Utah, and Nebraska, that did vote yes to do the Medicaid expansion in this recent election. So we're down to 14 states now that have not done that, but Texas, Florida, and Georgia are three of the big ones, and that's where we're seeing increasingly more of the uninsured kids cluster.
Just based on what I've seen coming out of the midterm elections here in Florida, it doesn't really appear that there's been that much of a change in the makeup of the state legislature that would lead me to believe that lawmakers would be more amenable to expanding Medicaid when they convene for the 2019 legislative session in March. And I know you've come down to Tallahassee to speak to Florida lawmakers in past years about expanding Medicaid. Do you think you'll be back in the Florida Capitol sometime to present data like what's in this report?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. I would agree with your assessment that it doesn't look like this is certainly top of the agenda for the next legislative session. I think over time, states, pretty much all states, are going to get there and pick up the Medicaid expansion. It's just a question of when. I mean, just as sort of a historical note, when the Medicaid program started, it is optional for states to come in. And it did take 17 years to get the last state, which was Arizona. So this may take a while, but I think the pressures on states to take this funding are really pretty enormous. And one example of that is, and I think this factored into the ballot expansion initiatives we saw, is that we see these states falling behind in a lot of ways. Their uninsured rates are going in the wrong direction. And their rural communities especially really suffering. And this is true in Florida. We did a report earlier this year that looked at the role of Medicaid expansion for rural areas. And the uninsured rates in rural counties tend to be quite a bit higher for that population that is targeted by the ACA Medicaid expansion. In Florida, the gap was actually 37% of adults are uninsured in those counties as opposed to 24% in the urban area. So very high uninsured rates across the state, but really these rural communities, rural hospitals are really taking on the chin when states continue to not accept these federal dollars.
And going back to CHIP funding and the issues we had last fall, which you alluded to a moment ago, I mean, we were facing really an unprecedented situation with, you know, federal funding for CHIP lapsing, lawmakers really just kicking the can down the road and kind of creating an impossible position for staffers responsible for administering Medicaid programs in states, just because they didn't know if they were going to have funding 30 days out. Has that situation been resolved at this point? And do you think that that had, you know, something to do with the numbers we saw in 2017?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we do worry that that was part of the mixed messages that families were getting and hearing at the same time when support for community assisters was being taken away. And it really was unprecedented. You know, the CHIP program has had to be extended quite a few times since it was first created in 1997, and we never saw anything like this happen before. So it was a very difficult time, as you say, for those folks trying to administer the program. The good news is when Congress did finally get around to it earlier this year, they extended it for 10 years. So that's not something we have to worry about in the short term. So that says to me now is really the time for a state like Florida, which sees its numbers going in the wrong direction, to roll up their sleeves and try to figure out how to make sure that kids are getting covered. And I think that's critically important. You know, I just want to remind folks that having access to health insurance is so critical for kids to have a good start to life. We know from a lot of research that children who have health coverage do better in school. They have higher high school graduation rates, and have better economic outcomes. And it makes sense. If you think of a kid that has asthma, that's a treatable condition if you can get to the doctor and get the medication that you need. But if you can't, and if you have cost barriers to getting that inhaler, et cetera, that kid's more likely to wind up in the ER and missing school. So it's a whole cascading set of negative consequences. So CHIP has been extended for 10 years. That's the good news. So now is the time for states to really look at what can we do to make sure kids get covered.
Right. And you know, it seems like what we've been talking about primarily concerns, or as far as what's driving these increases in the rates of uninsured kids, concerns children with, you know, public-sponsored health coverage. But what about kids who are enrolled in an employer-sponsored health coverage? Are we seeing them lose access to care as well?
So we did actually see a little bit nationwide of a slight increase in kids covered through their parents' job because of the good economy. In Florida, it kind of stayed level. There wasn't a statistically discernible fluctuation. And that's good news. Certainly some of that employer-sponsored coverage can have very high deductibles and other kinds of barriers to care. So that's something that's important to take a look at. But, you know, the other issue I wanted to mention, and the families that are really getting hit hard, are those working poor families. We see this in Florida and across the country, that the families that are just over the poverty line, so families with incomes $30,000, $40,000, you know, even up to $50,000 a year, they're working, but their jobs don't provide coverage. So they're working in the service sector or the tourism industry or agricultural sector, and those jobs really don't provide health coverage, and that's where we need to make sure that the public coverage options are coming in and are available to those kids.
So these would be those families who, back whenever we did have the health coverage mandate under the ACA, were earning too much money to qualify for like Medicaid, but were actually making too little money to really be required to buy a plan from the ACA. Is that what we're talking about?
So we're talking, a lot of these families are actually eligible for the CHIP part of Medicaid, or the other issue in Florida is that your eligibility levels for your CHIP program are quite low compared to the national average. Florida is covering kids at 200% of the poverty level. That's about a little over $40,000 a year for a family of three. And those kids could go into the marketplace and get coverage there. There's some wrinkles there we won't go into because we don't have time, but that's where I think the pulling back of the community navigators had a detrimental effect. But again, Florida is way below the national average here with its coverage levels. It has a pretty stingy program for kids. So that's another thing that policymakers might want to take a look at.
Right. You have talked about this, but I kind of wanted to reemphasize, you know, the impact of not so much the Affordable Care Act, but by the actions of Trump administration officials to sort of weaken that and how that might be playing a role in this. We've already talked about, rescinding of the health coverage mandate. And, you know, the money for the Navigator program has really just been slashed. There's a single one of many programs here in Florida out of the University of South Florida called the Florida Covering Kids and Families program that had received $4.9 million last year for open enrollment, marketing, and consumer assistance. And then this year, the entire state got just $1.2 million. And I wonder if you see that as significant, just because I know that one of the things that the study notes is that a lot of the kids who are uninsured are eligible. They just don't know about it.
That's exactly right. And I think you've really hit the nail on the head there. Florida has a really complicated system of child health coverage options. It's one of the most complex in the country. So for families to navigate that without help is definitely challenging. There's two other pieces to mention. We think this is kind of the tip of the iceberg, unfortunately, and we're going to see more kids become uninsured in 2018. One of the issues that I don't think was really kicking in this data, but may, is the hostility towards immigrant families that we're seeing right now in a whole bunch of ways. And there are a very significant number of kids, about a quarter of kids in the U.S., most of these are citizen kids, but they have an immigrant parent. And those parents may be fearful of interacting with the government right now for fear of being deported or not being able to adjust their status. So that's, I think, a growing concern, something very pertinent to Florida, that kind of unwelcoming climate may make these numbers get worse. So, again, I think there's every reason to believe that these trends are going to continue going the wrong direction, and Florida's Medicaid enrollment of kids continues to go down. So I fear that this number of uninsured kids in Florida will go up again next year.
Yeah, interesting to note that you know, you might have a kid who is a U.S. citizen and is eligible for one of these coverage options. But if they have a parent who is out of status, you know, they don't want to draw attention to themselves. They're just not even going to do anything to, you know, put themselves on the radar. Interesting.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, a recent report from Georgetown University Center for Children and Families shows that rates of uninsured kids is increasing across the nation. And that's reversing a nearly decade-long trend. The center's director, Joan Alker, is with us. Connect with her by calling 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. And on this same topic of, you know, particularly looking at the impact on immigrant families, the conclusions of the report, in there you warned that a recently proposed federal public charge rule to create new income and public benefit use tests for legal immigrants could make the rates of uninsured people in the U.S. even worse. Tell me more about that. What is this public charge rule proposal?
Yeah, so this is a new proposal that's up for public comment right now. Actually, the comments are due next Monday. It's a deadline. It has nothing to do with undocumented immigrants. It's all about legally present immigrants and whether or not they can adjust their status and what will be the kind of tests that the government looks at in assessing whether they can. So it's a very complicated rule, but at the end of the day, it may deter families from using Medicaid or CHIP for their kids, even though technically that may not count against them. They may be worried that it will, and a recent study from the Kaiser Family Foundation estimated that as many as 2 to close to 5 million people could lose Medicaid if these new rules go into effect. Most of those would be children, because that is the biggest group on Medicaid. So that's where, again, we say this is potentially just the tip of the iceberg if these new rules are put in place.
And what kind of trends does your data show broadly when it comes to, you know, different demographic breakups like age, socioeconomic, geographic, or ethnic identity when it comes to the likelihood that they were among those who, you know, have lost their insurance coverage or maybe might be about to?
Yeah, that's a great question. So uninsured kids tend to be older. The young kids, you know, they're in the doctor all the time and interacting with the healthcare system more. So they do tend to be older, although in Florida we saw a very disturbing trend that the young kids under age 6 did see a big jump in their uninsured rate. With respect to race and ethnicity, we saw increases across races, but in general, Latino kids do have some of the highest uninsured rates. They can be of any race, but Latino ethnicity. And American Indian children also tend to have very high uninsured rates. So we're seeing some clustering with respect to the large numbers of uninsured children in states that have not expanded Medicaid, that have, you know, relatively high proportions of Latino kids. And then in other states that have, of course, there aren't a lot of American Indian kids, but they tend to have high rates. So certainly Florida fits that profile.
What about geographic bundling there? I mean, I know this isn't necessarily unique to this report, but typically don't we see, you know, kids and families in more rural areas more likely to not have coverage or to lose coverage?
Yes, we do. And rural areas tend to have higher uninsured rates. What's interesting about kids coverage is that you do see higher rates of uninsured kids in the South and kind of in the Mountain West. But there are some exceptions, and I think Floridians are often really surprised to hear that Alabama has 97% of your kids covered, as opposed to Florida, which now has just a little bit over 92%. So Alabama has been actually a real star, and is certainly the star of the South, along with Louisiana. Louisiana also has coverage rates of 97%. So we do see regional clump. Of course, with states in the Mountain West and some of the states in the South, Florida and Georgia most notably. But it really is, there's some really interesting differences around the country on this.
Well, we are closing in on our time for this segment, but we've got a call from Maria in LaBelle. So let's go ahead and take that. Maria, welcome to Gulf Coast Live. You're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Well, thanks for talking to me.
What did you want to tell us, Maria?
I just wanted to share that I do work in the with people that come here from other countries, irregardless of how they got here. And I just wanted to share that I have observed that we're seeing people not take advantage of services because of fear and because of, I guess, perceived guidelines that if they accept these services, they may be sent back from where they came from, just to keep it very basic.
Yeah, no, Maria, I appreciate that. I like having that, you know, firsthand, you know, anecdotal experience kind of reflecting what Joan's report is telling us. Thanks so much for the call.
Yeah,
well, thank you very much.
Yeah, that's exactly what we've heard from folks around the country, and that's why we fear these numbers will get worse. And most of these kids are citizens, but their parents may not be.
Big question here, but what would it take in order for you to not expect the numbers to increase in future years?
Well, certainly for a state like Florida, the single surefire way to get your number going in the right direction would be to expand Medicaid. There's no question that would bring your uninsured rate down. Barring that, which, as you say, may not be in the cards for next year, I think the state could absolutely make an effort to get this number going in the right direction by making sure that they invest in community-based outreach and enrollment. And here's another really key thing. Once the kids are enrolled, make sure you keep them there. Don't lose them. That happens a lot, that families lose coverage at renewal as a result of red tape barriers. They may not get the letter. There's a lot of residential instability in low-income populations. So they got to find the kids, get them signed up, and then make sure they don't lose them.
And Joan, can you just say a little bit of something, you know, maybe regarding aspects of this report, or what I mean is aspects of what this report could mean that are sort of outside the scope of what it covers? And by that, I'm talking about the impact of, you know, kids who don't have access to a doctor missing more days of school than kids who do. Or, you know, the fact that if you don't have coverage, you might wind up in an emergency room seeking non-emergent care, which we know is the most important place you can go to see, or the most expensive place you can go to see a doctor. So this really has impacts that, you know, expand far beyond just these individual families.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, the research is very clear that children who are covered and covered through Medicaid have much better access to well child care, to medications, and to a usual source of care than kids who are uninsured. So we want to make sure that kids are able to get in to get their well child checkups, able to get the medications. You know, the good news is most kids aren't sick. They're not that expensive to cover. But they do, as any parent knows, things crop up. Asthma is very common. Kid will break an arm, and that can mean a trip to the emergency room. And for the family, that means so much medical debt. It's potentially, you know, really destroys their economic outlook. So there are a lot of ripple effects here, and the value of covering kids, because they're not that expensive to cover, it pays itself back in the short term, but even in the long term, because we do see better educational and economic outcomes for these kids who have insurance.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. But thanks so much to our guest, Joan Alker. She's executive director and co-founder of the Georgetown University Health Policy Institute's Center for Children and Families. Thanks, Joan.
Thank you for having me.
We're taking a short break, but when we return, WGCU's podcast, Three Song Stories, launched earlier this year. We're going to hear a segment from the latest episode. I'm John Davis. This is Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.